Astron guitar, and Wellman Browd bass. So, Christopher, now that you've got your selected poems in this new edition and you had that great success with The Scattering, I'm wondering whether you are writing for a new collection.
I've actually finished a new collection already, and I hope that will come out next year. Working title is Nonsense.
We look forward to that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Christopher Reed was talking to Michael Barclay. Next week on Private Passions, there's another chance to hear the actress Olivia Williams discussing her musical enthusiasms with Michael. Private Passions is a classic arts production for BBC Radio 3, and the producer of today's edition was Chris Marshall. Well, a very good afternoon to you. Welcome from me, Ian Skelly, to the afternoon on Radio 3. We're going to be off to King's Place in London in just a moment for a concert of early music given by Fretwork. The actor Tom Courtney takes part in the concert too. And winners of a competition that defies time by the sounds of it, an award offered by Radio 3 and the National Centre for Early Music, an award to young composers of early music. You can find out in just a moment after a summary of the BBC News this lunchtime, read by David Cornett.
Italian rescue workers have winched a third survivor to safety from inside the cruise ship which ran aground off the coast of Tuscany on Friday. The man, who's a member of the Costa Concordia's crew, has been airlifted to hospital with a serious leg injury. Local officials say 17 people are still unaccounted for. The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, has said the latest information suggests that all Britons are safe. Gunmen have stormed a police building in the Iraqi city of Ramadi, west of Baghdad, after setting off several bombs outside. The gunmen were said to be wearing explosive belts. Police and provincial officials say that at least six people died in the attack. The Labour leader, Ed Miliband, has echoed the words of the Shadow Chancellor, Ed Balls, who said yesterday that Labour could not promise to reverse the government's spending cuts. Mr Miliband said he would not cut as deeply as the coalition has, but he would be forced to make some cuts because government borrowing would still be high at the next election. Two big trade unions in Nigeria say they'll resume nationwide strikes tomorrow after failing to reach agreement with the government to cut fuel prices. The general strike began last Monday over the removal of subsidies, which has doubled energy costs. The Syrian state news agency says President Assad has offered a general amnesty for all crimes committed during the uprising, which began in March last year. Human rights groups say the authorities have detained and tortured thousands of people. There were at least four such amnesties last year. The Secretary of State for Scotland, Michael Moore, has asked Scotland's First Minister, Alex Salmond, to meet him in Edinburgh later this week to discuss the referendum on independence. Mr Moore says there are legal problems which need to be resolved. The Scottish and British governments disagree too about the timing of the vote and about the question that will be asked. And the weather, it'll become mostly bright with sunny spells, although it'll be cloudier in parts of the south and the northwest. BBC News and weather at 3 minutes past one.
David, thank you. Well, in an hour from now, we're going to be at Brangwen Hall in Swansea to hear two great orchestral showpieces from the 1940s, Stravinsky's Symphony in Three Movements and the Symphonic Dances by Rachmaninoff. Ollery Eltz conducts the BBC National Orchestra of Wales in a concert recorded last night, in fact, and making our Sunday concert here on Radio 3 beginning at 2. But now it's time for the Early Music Show with Lucy Skeeping.
Hello. In today's programme, a chance to hear the winning entries from the 2011 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award, which was given in partnership with BBC Radio 3 and the celebrated viol group Fretwork. The winning compositions were given their official premiere by Fretwork at the end of last year in a public concert at King's Place in London. So as well as these brand new pieces from some of the country's brightest young musicians, we'll also be hearing highlights from that concert in today's show, including music by Laws, Dowland, Bird and Purcell. Now, you might just be thinking that including works by young 21st century composers in a programme that's concerned with the music of the distant past is a little strange. But the early music movement, in fact, has been remarkably successful in founding a whole new discipline and approach to music making with a fabulous panoply of fresh sounds and artistic insights, a rich source of inspiration for creative musicians. It was this spirit that prompted the competition's launch a few years ago, and by setting out to appeal to young composers, the hope was to engage them in the many possibilities that early music has to offer. The response has been fantastic, as I hope you'll agree when you hear the winning entries. It's been especially rewarding to have as our performing partners for the 2011 competition the viol group Fretwork, who themselves have done much to pioneer the idea of new music for old instruments. They've already been responsible for commissioning contemporary viol music from several of today's leading composers. Here's Fretwork's Richard Boothby.
The fact that we play contemporary music has changed the way we play old music. One of the things that it has done for us, it has suggested a wider palette of colours and musical expression than we would otherwise have been using. Because contemporary composers demand that you play extremely quietly, extremely loudly, extremely short, extremely long, extremely high, all those extremities are outside the initial aesthetic of 16th and 17th century music. But I believe that they were very much part of the way in which the music was performed, and that we have been ignoring the more expressive side of it for a perfection of ensemble and tuning and that sort of thing. The contemporary music gives us a way of looking at it which is different from how we would otherwise look at it.
Richard Boothby. Well, before we hear the winning compositions, let's listen to some music from the rest of Fretwork's King's Place concert. The theme for the evening was The Year's Midnight, which was inspired by the idea of the winter solstice. And alongside music, the concert featured verse read from the stage by the great English actor Sir Tom Courtney. And Fretwork were also joined by the soprano Claire Wilkinson.
Out in the dark over the snow, the fallow fawns invisible go with the fallow doe, and the winds blow fast as the stars are slow. Stealthily the dark haunts round, and when the lamp goes without sound at a swifter bound than the swiftest hound, arrives, and all else is drowned. And star and I and wind and deer are in the dark together, near yet far, and fear drums on my ear in that sage company drear. How weak and little is the light, all the universe of sight, love and delight, before the might, if you love it not, of night.
John Dowland's In Darkness, Let Me Dwell, performed by Claire Wilkinson and Fretwork. And in that group of pieces from Fretwork's King's Place concert, we also heard an In Nomine by William Laws and verses by Edward Thomas, read by Sir Tom Courtney. This is The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping. And so to the first of our winners from the 2011 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award. And it was John Dowland's music that inspired our first new piece. There are two categories in the competition, and the senior category, composers aged from 19 to 25, was won by Chris Roberts for his piece, My O-Flowing Tears.
My name's Chris, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Leeds. I'm looking into English amateur musicians in the 17th and 18th centuries and how music is used at different levels of society. Early music for me started as an undergraduate. Before I came to the university, I hadn't played any early music as I was a pianist and a cellist. And I began to learn to play the viol. It was done as a class, so it was like kind of learning with other people as well, and we got to play consort music as a group. It was a new experience and it was interesting as well. My piece was inspired by John Dowland, and it's written as a homage to him and marks his anniversary of his birth in 2013. I've taken the viol consort and split it into two separate choirs, each one consisting of a treble, tenor and bass viol. So throughout the piece, the two different choirs play different styles of music. So the first choir plays slower music, which is influenced and based on Dowland's Pavans from his Lacrimae collection. And then the second choir plays faster material, which is influenced by Dowland's Galliards and quite a lot of dance-like and lively rhythms, especially in the pizzicato bits. In my piece, I use Dowland's tear motif, which he uses in his lute song, Flow My Tears, and I take this four-note motif and I kind of manipulate the four notes. So towards the end of the piece, the tear motif becomes more apparent, and I also make a direct reference to the lute song as I make the performers whisper, you know, they play their instruments, but I use their voice as an instrument as well. So it's kind of a combination of those two different vocal and instrumental aspects.
Chris Roberts, the winner of the 19 to 25 category. And here now is his winning piece, My O-Flowing Tears, performed by Fretwork.
Thank you.
Fretwork, performing My O'erflowing Tears by Chris Roberts, the winner of the 19 to 25 category in the 2011 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award. It was a homage to the music of John Dowland, which the judges pronounced to be a novel and imaginative use of the viol consort. You're listening to the Early Music Show here on BBC Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping.
A cold coming we had of it. Just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter, and the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces, and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women. And the night fires going out and the lack of shelters and the cities hostile and the towns unfriendly and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears, saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet, below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a watermill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information. And so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again, but set down this, set down this. Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly, we had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death.
Out of the Orient Crystal Skies by the great Elizabethan composer William Byrd. The singer was Claire Wilkinson with fretwork. And Sir Tom Courtney read T.S. Eliot's poem The Journey of the Magi. And we move now to the 18 years and under category. And for this, the standard was so high that the judges couldn't decide between two entries, so a joint prize was awarded, and we're going to hear them both. Bertie Bagent had created a particularly effective piece for the viols In Memoriam, which makes imaginative use of the different timbral qualities of the individual viols.
My name's Bertie Bagent. I've been composing for about 4 years. We're currently in the organ loft at Christ Church Cathedral in Oxford, because this is a very important place for me musically. I'm currently the organ scholar with the cathedral singers who sing here out of term time, so I'm able to perform a great variety of music from 15th century things to more modern pieces, and I think that's influenced my compositions a great deal. I was told about the competition by my cello teacher, who also runs a early music group where we play viols and other early instruments. I really like the quality of the viol sound, because it's a reedy, much reedier sound than more modern string instruments. I think that suited the mood of the piece and the character of the piece. My piece is called In Memoriam In Nomine. This is quite an unusual title, but it refers to an old form of viol composition, which is called an In Nomine, and it was a form of polyphonic music which was characteristic to the viol repertoire in the 16th century. And the In Nomine theme was taken from a John Taverner Mass. Composers used this theme as a cantus firmus, around which they composed contrapuntal imitative lines. Now, in my piece, I wanted to use some aspects of this, but I used the In Nomine theme as a motif which I developed and extended through the piece, rather than as a cantus firmus as it originally had been used. So I hoped in my piece to fuse the viol tradition with more modern compositional ideas.
Bertie Bagent. And we'll hear his winning piece now, In Memoriam, performed by Fretwork. In Memoriam by Bertie Bagent, performed by Fretwork.
Thank you.
Claire Wilkinson was the soprano with Fretwork in the Evening Hymn by Henry Purcell. And before that, a piece by an English composer of more recent years who took great inspiration from the music of early times, Peter Warlock, an arrangement of his song Sleep. And so to the final winning entry of our Young Composers Competition, the second joint winner in the 18 years and under category. She's Sarah Gate, who wrote a challenging and atmospheric piece for Fretwork to perform, inspired by lines from Samuel Coleridge.
I'm studying at the Junior RNCM in Manchester, and I play in the National Youth Orchestra, as well as playing in the Junior RNCM Symphony Orchestra, where I'm principal cello there. So I entered this NCEM competition because a viol concert is something I've never written before. I didn't even really know how to go about writing for it. Fretwork had given us some really helpful information about the basics of writing for viols. I also went to a local concert by a viol consort, which was very useful, and they let me try a viol for a tiny bit, which was nice. Well, most of my composing takes place here in my room, which is also my sort of work environment. So it's at my desk, which is just by the window, and I can look out to the fells, and that's where I'll do most of my writing, and some of it I actually do outside. So we're in the North Lake District, and this is where I live, where I've lived all my life. I mean, this area is special to me because it is where I live, where I get all my inspiration from. You can hear the sound of the stream running by our feet and the wind, obviously very loud at the moment. The sheep, the dogs generally, and you could hear some crows just now. We're looking across to the fells, and sometimes I go across there to compose. It's quite wild, to be honest. There's nothing really very gentle about it, and my pieces aren't gentle in general. I like them to be quite extreme. That's what I like about it. It's quite raw and open to the elements. My piece is called Death Fires, and it was inspired by a verse from Coleridge's poem The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. My piece isn't really inspired by the whole poem, just by the colours that this particular verse evokes. About, in reel and rout, the death fires danced at night. The water, like a witch's oils, burnt green and blue and white. I really like the colours and the feelings that that verse evokes. I think my piece is all about colours, really. It's in two sections, so the first one is a bit more mysterious, and then the later one makes me think of death fires dancing at night. Yeah, it is a bit like a sort of slightly eerie dance.
Thank you.
Death Fires by Sarah Gate, the last of the winning entries from the 2011 National Centre for Early Music Young Composers Award, given in partnership with Fretwork and Radio 3. Well, congratulations to all our winners, and our thanks to Fretwork and to the National Centre for Early Music. And if you're a young composer and you felt inspired by what you've heard today, then perhaps you'd like to enter the 2012 competition. For this, our partners will be the Tallis Scholars and Peter Phillips. We're looking for a new piece of between 3 and 4 minutes duration, written specifically with the Tallis Scholars in mind. And we'd also like you to take as your starting point the celebrated In Nomine theme from the Taverner Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas. You can be as creative as you like with it. You don't have to quote it exactly or even at all. And you can set whatever words you like. But we would like you to demonstrate some sort of artistic acknowledgement of the motif.
I'm Peter Phillips, the founder and director of the Tallis Scholars. I'm sitting at this moment in the Latin chapel of Christ Church Cathedral, Oxford. This college is now called Christ Church, but it was founded by Cardinal Wolsey as Cardinal College, and one of the first choir masters, if not the first, was John Taverner, who put together some very grand music for this building. The point of the competition is to write a piece for the Tallis Scholars for unaccompanied voices, which will be inspired by or have its starting point in the In Nomine section from Taverner's Benedictus of the Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas. Taverner really goes to town with the In Nomine section. The Benedictus section is quite short, wonderfully florid, and then starts this sort of magical section with the words In Nomine. The tune which this whole Mass is based on is a chant which is proper to Trinity Sunday. It runs throughout the Mass. Taverner created a texture which is quite unique, it's particularly attractive and compelling, and became extremely famous. Many, many composers decided to try to emulate him in that spirit of flattery, which is copying, and maybe improve if they could, but I mean, it went right the way through the 16th century and all the way up to Purcell. It's got the plain chant part in long notes in the second part down, which we call the mean part, and above it is a treble part of particular beauty, and I actually think that it's the lines that part created as much as the chant part that inspired later composers.
I'm Peter Maxwell Davis, composer, and I used the In Nomine very early in my composing life. I really found the In Nomine an inspiring departure point. First of all, I was fascinated by John Taverner's life. I even wrote an opera on his life, and the In Nomine actually plays more or less in various transformations throughout that opera, Taverner. And I think part of the real attraction of this was you feel that this excerpt went through the hands and imaginations of so many different composers, and it has a kind of iconic feel about it. And you feel when you're dealing with it and making it work in a piece of music, that you're treading a path, perhaps in a different way, which very many composers have trodden. When I was writing my little fantasias on the In Nomine, and then the two big orchestral pieces, the two fantasias on John Taverner's In Nomine, you felt when you were doing those things that you were dealing with holy material in a very, very special way. And it, my goodness, it sharpens your mind, it sharpens your musical technique, it sharpens your musical sensitivities. It does develop into something very special in your mind. In some places, you expect the listener to know what it is and to recognise it. And all right, that might be a tall order, but that's what you expect. Other places, of course, it is a catalyst and it's going through transformations where you probably won't be able to recognise it. But the fact that it's there, I think for me, is very important and does inform the music with an intensity. The In Nomine is such a character, but capable of such extraordinary and varied transformations that it will become something different with every composer that uses it.
I think this is quite a competition to be part of. How many competitions offer you a performance on the radio in a building like Durham with a top professional choir at your command? Think about this and go for it.
Peter Phillips, and we also heard from the composer Sir Peter Maxwell Davis. So here now are the details of the 2012 competition. As before, there are two age group categories, 18 years and under and 19 to 25, and you must apply to enter before the 2nd of March. The deadline for completed entries is the 30th of March. A short list of finalists will then have their pieces workshopped with the composer Christopher Fox and the Ebor Singers at the National Centre for Early Music in York on the 17th of May, after which the two winners will be announced. The winning pieces will then be given a public performance by the Tallis Scholars in their concert at Durham Cathedral in June, which will be recorded for broadcast here on Radio 3. Full details, application forms and terms and conditions are published on the Radio 3 website. Just follow the links to the Early Music Show pages. Good luck, and we look forward to receiving your entries. And that's it for today. Until next time, goodbye.
That was Lucy Skeeping, and the producer in Salford was Chris Wines. And as Lucy mentioned there, you can find more details about the 2012 competition on the Early Music Show pages of the Radio 3 website. And meanwhile, you can hear fretwork again in more performances from that concert at King's Place, which featured in today's programme. This time, contemporary viol pieces by composers including John Woolrich, Tan Dun and Duncan Druce. It's all in pre here this coming Saturday evening, beginning at 10 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
For the dark January nights, Radio 3 Live in Concert brings you the music of After Dark. Magical nocturnal works from Mozart and Sibelius, a Japanese quotation of Dream, and the enchanting nocturnes of Claude Debussy. The Night Comes Alive, Radio 3 Live in Concert, Friday night at 7:30.
It's just after 2 o'clock now, and next on Radio 3, our Sunday concert, which was recorded last night in Swansea. It's introduced by Nicola Heywood-Thomas.
Welcome to the Brangwyn Hall in Swansea for a concert given by the BBC National Orchestra of Wales. The German cellist Alban Gerhardt is the soloist in a rare performance of the Concerto in D minor by Lalo, and our guest conductor is Olery Eltz. Ullary was recently appointed principal guest conductor of the Helsinki Philharmonic. Here in Swansea, the Estonian presents a programme with a distinctly Russian feel, which closes with Rachmaninoff's final orchestral masterpiece, his symphonic dances. First, though, another work completed by a Russian exile in the United States, the Symphony in Three Movements by Stravinsky. He wrote it in 1945, and the turmoil of the Second World War was matched by personal upheavals for Stravinsky, whose daughter, wife, and mother had all died within a few months in 1939. Out of this unsettled time came the Symphony in Three Movements, which Stravinsky himself regarded, in a sense, as a war symphony. He'd been lecturing in the United States in 1940, when the situation in Europe worsened, so he decided to settle in California. There, he started to accept offers of commercial work, and many parts of this symphony began life as sketches for film scores. The central movement contains music written for the Oscar-winning Song of Bernadette, though it was never actually used in the film. While the composer confessed that the violent outer movements were inspired by war documentaries of scorched earth tactics in China, newsreel footage of goose-stepping Nazis, and the rise of the Allies. To conduct it now, Ullary Eltz joins the BBC National Orchestra of Wales.
Thank you. Thank you.